Well, good morning. It is a privilege and blessing to be with you here at Waterworks again to worship together. And I want to encourage you all together as we study the Word together. Last time I was here, I think it was in the spring, I don't know if any of you recall, but I preached from Hebrews chapter 6, 5 and 6 on apostasy and promised that I would follow up with in a message on Melchizedek, in that the writer of Hebrews, if you recall, in chapter 5, it's a bit convicting for me when I read that, and I've studied that, he says about Melchizedek, Jesus Christ being a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and he says, of which I have so many things to say to you, but you're dull of hearing. The time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. And the time you ought to be on meat, you're still on milk. And really the context of that all is Melchizedek. And so I don't want to, if you're here this morning and you really don't have a burning desire to learn about Melchizedek, I don't want to bring condemnation to you, because that's kind of where I was at, and I must humbly confess that I believe I was about 50 years old until I studied about it. And I'm still, it's a deep subject, so I'm going to do my best this morning to preach and follow up as I promised. Jesus Christ, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And if you read through Hebrews, you will find that coming back again and again and again. And I found that to be a theme. A better priesthood. Not after Levi, but after Melchizedek. And so that's what we're going to try to unpack this morning. And I will say that it's a study, for me at least. You gain a little bit every time, and it's a deep study. And I will also say that I'm humbled to admit and acknowledge that my understanding of the Old Testament priesthood is limited. And maybe it's because I don't really have a burning desire to learn about the old covenant priesthood because I'm in the new. But I would like to say the more I read and study, if you do not understand the old, you're limited in understanding the new. If you do not understand and have a great understanding of the Old Testament law in the Old Testament, you're limited in your understanding of the new. And so the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And so I'm going to do my best to open up a little bit on a high priest, Jesus Christ being our high priest, and after the order of Melchizedek, and also bring all of us together to a new appreciation of our great high priest. I hope no one here this morning questions whether Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And I hope that you all have a relationship with the great high priest and you have an appreciation for being in the New Testament as well. William Howard Taft served as President of the United States. I don't have the years, details of that, but he also is the only president who served also as a Supreme Justice and in the Supreme Court. And to my understanding, that's the only time it ever happened where a president also served as a Supreme Justice and in the Supreme Court. And so I appreciate the three branches of government. It brings checks and balances so that one man does not have too much power. And there is safety in that. And I appreciate the three branches of government. But in the Old Testament, God also set it up in a way that the prophet, priest, and king of the Old Testament also never served in more than one office in that way as well. As you had the kings that came from the line and the tribe of Judah. And when Abraham was blessing his children there, he said the scepter will never depart from Judah until Shiloh come. And so the kings came from the tribe of Judah. And the priests, of course, we call the Levitical, Old Testament Levitical priesthood, came from the tribe of Levi. And there were strict laws against serving anyone else other than the tribe of Levi to serve in the office of priest and to serve in the temple and tabernacle. It was only the tribe of Levi. And then, of course, the prophets were called of God to deliver the message from God, and you can say that Jesus Christ came and fulfilled them all, prophet, priest, and king. And so we have now Jesus after the high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, not Levi, and David was the one who was from the lineage and tribe of Judah. And God made an oath and a covenant to David that a king will sit upon the throne of David forever. And Jesus, of course, came and fulfilled that as well. And you can say, well, the role of the prophet in Hebrews, it does say that God in times past spoke through the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken through his son. And so I believe there was a change as well, the way that God speaks through Jesus Christ, in comparison to the Old Testament prophets. And so Melchizedek was a king and a priest at the same time, and Jesus fulfilled the role of a prophet, priest, and king. No other person was a king and a priest at the same time. So Jesus is anointed as high priest when he took his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. And that was prophesied in Psalm 110. And this morning we're privileged to be Christians. We're privileged to be in the New Testament. We're privileged to have access into the very throne room of heaven. We are privileged people this morning. And do we need a high priest today? Yes, we do. We're going through lots of difficulty in our lives today, and we need our great high priest. And so this is our study this morning. You can turn in your Bible to I'm going to just go through the verses. If you want to follow along, before I do this, in Hebrews, where this Melchizedek comes up again and again and again, but only two times in the Old Testament we find Melchizedek mentioned, and it's possibly the reason why it is not taught much and preached much, and maybe someone here has really studied this, but I'm guessing it's something that we don't teach a lot of, because only twice is Melchizedek mentioned in the Old Testament, and it's always, when I read up over it in the past, Genesis 14 is the one place where Abraham went to rescue Lot, and on his way back, you look at that whole story, we'll look at that a little bit later on, but Abraham is returning from the battle, and the kings of Sodom give their spoil to Abraham, and here comes Melchizedek on the journey back, and Abraham gives him a tithe. What's significant in that? Well, there's great significance if you understand the Old Testament Levitical priesthood and what Hebrews 7 is saying, and we'll try to unpack some of that. But there is great significance there. But here Melchizedek shows up one time in the Old Testament. And this great man that the writer of Hebrews is saying, how great a man this was, because he was a type and he was a priest of the Most High God. And then in Psalm 110 is the other place where you have this prophetic verse. In Psalm 110:4, it says, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And so there's the two verses in the Old Testament. That's all we have. That's the only mention in the Old Testament. Now, Hebrews, I'm going to just walk you through a few of the verses. But a very familiar verse before we get into Melchizedek is the one we use a lot, or I go to a lot and preach from often. In Hebrews 4, verse 14, it says, seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with a feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So here we have the great high priest passed into the heavens, and we're invited to come to the throne of grace by faith. And we can come into the very presence of God through faith, and we have the high priest, Jesus Christ, serving the church of Jesus Christ today. And what a privilege that is. Now let's move through Hebrews 5, verse 6. It says, and he said also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 5, 10, called of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you're dull of hearing. Hebrews 6, 20, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And Hebrews 7, verse 15, it says, and is yet far more evident that after the similitude of Melchizedek there arises another priest. Hebrews 7, 17, for he testified, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And Hebrews 7, 17. I'm sorry, Hebrews 7, 21. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that is said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And so Hebrews 7 and the book of Hebrews, you have this thread again and again and again. He's coming back to Jesus Christ, a high priest after Melchizedek. And so there is this theme that we see, and I want to try to unpack that this morning in the time we have. So the Hebrew believers were constantly tempted to go back to the Old Testament law. And Hebrews 7 is an exhaustive study of a new priesthood after Melchizedek and not after the Old Testament. And then Hebrews 8 is a new covenant, so much better than the Old Covenant. And so I believe that this was really hard for them to transition. Now for us, we didn't go through that transition 2,000 years ago. I believe we would have struggled as well if we were in the Jewish faith and all within Judaism, and we have this transition from law into grace. And even Jesus' disciples struggled tremendously to transition into grace. Peter was one who was on the housetop and he saw the vision to eat. And he said, I will never eat. And it came again, rise up and eat meat. Forbidden in the Old Testament. And it was that struggle that I believe was prevalent here in the Hebrew Christians, transitioning back into the Old Covenant. So Hebrews 6:19, I'm going to start right there with and read into chapter 7, where we're going to study this morning. Hebrews 6:19, it says, "For which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that which is within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now we move into chapter 7, verse 1, where we have the exhaustive study about Melchizedek. It says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abiding a priest continually. Now consider how great a man this was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who received the office of priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the lesser is blessed of the greater. And here, men that die receive tithes, but there he received them of whom it is written that he liveth. And as I may say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him." Now stop there and just spend a little bit of time on Melchizedek here from these verses. We have two mentions in the Old Testament, and the description that's given here is he was king of Salem and priest of the Most High God. So he was king of Salem, Jerusalem, and priest of the Most High God, and he met Abraham and gave a tithe to Abraham. It says that he was without father or mother and without genealogy, no beginning or end of days, who was made like the Son of God. Now there's two interpretations here. One interpretation is that this was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. And from these verses here, he had no beginning of days or no genealogy, no beginning of days or end of days. And so if this is actually literally true, it had to be a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. Jesus himself appeared to Abraham, and Abraham paid tithes to him. The other interpretation is that there is no record of his beginning of days, end of life. If you study the Old Testament Levitical priesthood, they had, of course, their lineage, and they had a record, a time when they began service and an end of their service. I believe it was 50 years old that they served long enough, and that was the age they served. And so there's no record of this. And yeah, you can draw your own opinion and interpretation from this. I don't stand strong one way or another. I have an opinion, but those are the two interpretations of who this Melchizedek was. King of Salem, I find Jesus, pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, that might be hard to be king of Salem if that was Jesus himself. But I'm okay with either one. I heard both interpretations of this, but it says he was made like the Son of God. It's not saying here that he was the Son of God, but he was made like, or he was a type. And maybe I would lean that way. It was an Old Testament type, And it says that Abraham, very timely, met him when he received the spoils, and he gave a tithe to him. And there's great significance in that as well because of the way that God set up the Old Testament priesthood. So, let's talk a little bit about the tithe and the significance of the tithe. It says in verse 4, now just stop and consider how great a man this was. And what was the reason of why Abraham took the spoil and gave tithes to him? What was behind this all? And I believe it explains it in the verses following that it says, if you jump down to 9 and 10, it says, And as I may say, Levi also who received tithes paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. And so when Abraham was giving tithes to Melchizedek, Levi, who didn't even exist yet, and the tribe of Levi was paying tithes to him because they were still in the loins of their father, Abraham. And so, for sake of time, I'm going to just have you go back to Genesis there for the story of Abraham when he met him. And I'm going to just go to Numbers 18, 20 to 24 to shed some light on this paying tithes. Numbers 18, 20 to 24, it says, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity, and it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. So the Levites did not receive an inheritance of the land, but they, as the other 11 tribes, all received an inheritance, and they received a portion of the land. But the Levites were called to serve in the temple, and it says they will not get any land, but they will get the tithes of the other 11 tribes. And so that's the way it was all set up. The tribe of Levi was chosen to serve in the temple. They didn't get land. I don't know which was the better deal, or if I was back there and I was of the tribe of Levi, was I just, yes? Or was I, oh, wow, this is long, hard work in the temple and tabernacle. Every day, the sacrifices and all the work in the temple over and over and over again. You bring your animals. I praise God. I'm not in the tribe of Levi. I don't know that it was that much of a privilege. I'm not sure, but that was the way it was set up. They did not receive an inheritance of the land, but the 11 tribes paid a tithe to the Levites. And then out of that tithe, the Levites gave a tenth to the Lord. And so they did not receive a tithe. And here comes Melchizedek. And I believe that God spoke to Abraham, and this was a type of Jesus Christ, the coming high priest, the eternal priest. Melchizedek was a type in the Old Testament, whether it was Jesus himself or was it a human that was a type made like Jesus Christ. Here Abraham gives a tithe and a tenth of the spoil. And in doing that, there was just Melchizedek in return blesses Abraham. The lesser is blessed by the greater. Melchizedek was the greater than Abraham. And in the Jewish mind, you remember how Jesus said that the Jewish people, they looked to Abraham. Are you greater than Abraham? Abraham was the father of the nation, and he was a great man, but this Melchizedek was even greater than Abraham. And Abraham paid a tithe, and in doing so, Levi was paying tithes because they were recognizing the eternal priesthood which was to come. So I believe there was significance there, even though we only have a few verses in Genesis. The paying of the tithes was a type of the Levites receiving tithes, and so he received the tithe there. And then in Psalm 110, I'm going to turn there for just the prophecy here in Psalm 110. It says in Psalm 110, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn," verse 4, "the Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." This was a prophetic scripture here pointing forward to the coming of Jesus Christ as the great high priest. Let's go back to Hebrews 7. Hebrews chapter 7. For a few more thoughts in this new priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. This is, of course, a new priest, a new order, and it is also a perfect priesthood. Let's start reading at verse 11. It says, "If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there of another priest, that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made necessity of the change of necessity, a change also of the law." So if perfection could come from the Old Testament, what need would there be for another? We know that the law did not bring perfection. The law did not have the ability to save. The law did not make a person perfect, but it only made the problem of sin worse. We see that picture in Romans chapter 7, where the question there, Paul is saying in Romans chapter 7, is the law sin? Because of this struggle that was happening in his own life, he said, no, the law is holy, righteous, and good, but it didn't have the ability to save, and it didn't have the power to deliver a person from sin and overcome sin. And the priesthood is the same way. It's saying here in verse 11, if there was perfection by the Levitical priesthood, what need would there be of another priesthood? And so you think about the corruption that happened in the nation of Israel and how far away they fell from the Lord. And there was a time when Jesus was crucified that the Sanhedrin was corrupted and primarily the nation of Israel was corrupted, and so the whole system, it didn't work. It failed, so to speak, not because of the law. The law was good, but it was sin in the heart. It didn't have the ability to deliver and make a person perfect and holy and righteous like Jesus Christ can do. So if the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, was perfect, there would be no need for another, but we know it wasn't perfect, so that's why we have Jesus Christ coming in a new order, in a new way, in a perfect way, and he stands this morning, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, a perfect priest, without sin. There was no sin at all. The priest in the Old Testament offered the sacrifices for their own sins and for the sins of the people. And they offered and served in the temple day after day after day. But those offerings and the animals, the blood of animals, could never take away sin. But Jesus here is a perfect priest. He's also an eternal priest. Verses 13 and 14, it says clearly that he's from a different tribe. Jesus did not come from the tribe of Judah. In verse 13 and 14, it says, "For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest." So this was a wrench in a Jewish mind that someone outside of the tribe of Levi could serve as a priest and a high priest. And if you and I were in the Old Testament, in the Levitical priesthood, in that system, it would be a wrench to overcome this idea that Jesus Christ, being from the tribe of Judah, is now considered the great high priest, because it was only the tribe of Levi. That's what he's saying here in verse 14. It is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah and not sprang out of Judah, of which Moses spoke nothing about. So this morning, we can come to this great high priest. The invitation is open. We just scratched the surface in this study of Melchizedek, but it's hopefully clear that Jesus is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, which is a perfect priesthood. The Levitical priesthood is fulfilled, and I'm so thankful for that, that we're not ordaining priests anymore. I should share the story of my discussions with the Catholic priest in town. There was two priests that I'm aware of, but one was, I had several opportunities to enter into discussions with the Catholic priest. And it's interesting, some of the discussions we had. He was one who would engage in conversation. He was very ecumenical. But one time I asked him the question, which do you think comes first, spirit baptism or water baptism? And that was a quick answer for him. Water. Babies. And they still do that. And I would say, well, we're Anabaptists. And so we still have not came to an agreement there, and I believe the scriptures talk about it. I'm planning to go to Europe to study Anabaptist history, and I'm excited about it, but we are Anabaptists. And there's a difference. And the other discussion we had a SMBI chorus that saw the building there on Chestnut Street. It's a domed building, and they asked me if they could sing in there. The acoustics are wonderful. It has a dome even bigger than this. And I said, you never know unless you ask. And so we went up there and met the secretary, and I asked if this group could sing there, and she asked what for music we'll be singing. And I said, well, they're right here. Let them come in and sing you a song. And they came into the secretary there in her office and sang "You're My All in All." And she just stood there in amazement. Let me get on this. And so she called the priest that very same day. They organized a meeting, and they hosted us that very evening in the Catholic Church. And it was interesting. The point I'm getting to is, you know, there's some differences there, but we could minister to them and sing to the people. But back behind the area where the priest serves, he has a room in the side there where he prepares the mass services. And there's a somewhat of a gated area. It's all closed in. And he was showing me all around here in the sanctuary and the beautiful buildings and what everything means. And then he said he got to the area up front, and he said only the priest goes back there. That's where I was just like, I was glad I wasn't a George Blaurock. And if I would have been a George Blaurock, he would have probably said, "You watch me. I'll go back there." Because why? We're all priests, right? We're a royal priest, and we all have access to the very throne room of God. And so I believe this is what the whole gist of this whole subject is. We have an eternal priest, Jesus Christ, fulfilled the Old Testament priesthood, and now serves as a great high priest over the house of God. And so that's why we don't ordain priests. The New Testament is different. And so, I believe this is very important. It says in verse 25, in Hebrews 7, verse 25, but this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchanging priesthood, wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And so he is able to save to the uttermost, to the guttermost. And everyone can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and can be saved and can be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, can be made perfect because he's able to save to the uttermost. And he ever lives to make intercession for you and I. And I want to encourage you in that this morning. We have a perfect high priest. He's entered into the throne room of heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, exalted. We have an invitation to come to him, and he can save to the uttermost. And he ever lives to make intercession. Are you going through a difficult time? Come to him. That's the role of the high priest. He is a great high priest. His sacrifice was once and for all. It was a great oath of the Old Testament. And we have now a great high priest. I'm going to close with this verse in chapter 8, verse 1. It says, "Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum." In other words, this is to wrap it all up. This is the sum. "We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man." So we have a great high priest who invites us to come, and that's what the writer of Hebrews was saying. I have so much more to say to you, and I hope that we're not those that are dull of hearing or have no interest. And so I'll leave that challenge. I'm with you in that. Let's get to know and build a relationship, a deeper relationship with our great high priest. And come to him with our struggles. How often we carry them ourselves. But he invites us to come to the throne of room of heaven and allow him to serve and minister to us. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the scriptures and the great High Priest, the way that you serve the Church of Jesus Christ and the privilege we have to be part of the church, the living church today. Pray that you would minister to the needs here at Waterworks and the needs in my own life and the needs and the struggles and difficulties we go through. I pray that you would touch our hearts. I thank you that you're not a high priest which cannot be touched with our infirmities, but you were tempted in all points. I thank you that the Levitical priesthood has been fulfilled and that you stand serving as the great high priest today. Lord, bless the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.